Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Michael Chenier as my special expert guest. Michael has worked in the promotions, advertising, web development, and magazine publishing industry for the past 20 years. He specializes in project development and management, hiring and managing creative personnel, print publications, and website development. Diving into every aspect of these sectors and learning them from the ground up has given Michael a unique and thorough overview of different advertising skill sets necessary to produce and deliver highly creative marketing projects in an efficient and cost-effective manner. Michael's passion about organization, professionalism, and creativity has earned him the confidence of many long-term loyal clients over the years. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Morning, Corey. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure indeed. It's always nice to have someone with a tendency to favor things like creativity and professionalism, organization. My, those are wonderful attributes. So just to bring us up to date, can you give us an idea of what it is that you do when it comes to the day-to-day running of your business?
As you mentioned, we have a number of businesses. One of them, for an example, is Vancouver Lifestyles and Victoria Lifestyles magazines. So part of what we do is we coordinate editorial and advertising and different communication types throughout the magazines. Then another part of our business is working for clients on a communication basis. And we do that through website development, social media, print advertising, development, and as well as project management. If somebody has something they need to get done which requires more than one person, we can coordinate that and get it done in an efficient manner.
How did you get into the business that you're in? One thing led to another, or of a whole series of kaleidoscope changes?
I've actually always loved print publications and was involved with them since 1995 all the way up to 2008. When the market collapsed in 2008, print magazines were no longer a viable way for businesses to advertise because they were too expensive. And also a lot of the print business went away. So in order to stay in the business, I needed to develop another medium to continue on in the publishing industry, and online created a perfect opportunity for that.
So you're an adaptable human being.
You have to be in this day and age. You would know that as well.
Right. And of course, health and wellness makes us more likely to survive and adapt, and especially with knowledge of mind and body. Now, you have a lot of expertise in a lot of areas that will be of massive interest to our people, because many of our students, they know they should get a website, and they haven't got one. I always ask them, do you have a website, yes or no, and I'd like to get one, or I'm in the midst of getting one. So maybe you can tell us why, for those that don't have one, that are thinking about it, why having a personal website or a business website would be of value for the individual today that's looking to expand their business and develop their business.
Especially for personal businesses, such as the fitness industry, when you're a fitness trainer, or anybody for that matter that's selling something that's actually not a physical thing, websites are actually the only portal for people to know about that particular person or business. Right now, 75% of people will Google someone before they even contact them to use their services. So when they Google you, once you have a website, you want to be the first item that comes up because you want to be able to control that message. If you have a business, you have to have a website. Now, that doesn't mean you need an expensive website, but you need to have some sort of presence online at the very least.
When you're out and about doing your thing, maybe at a laundromat or picking up some groceries or at a bar, whatever, and you run into somebody and this is an opportunity for you to exchange information, do you use a business card? And does that card have your website, or do you just tell them about your website? How do you go about doing that?
I always have a business card. That is the most traditional way of marketing when you're meeting someone face-to-face. you should always have your website on your card, but also keep in mind that your card is generally going to be thrown away very, very quickly. People don't have the Rolodexes that they used to, and everything that they keep is online. Almost as important as a business card is to have all your information listed in your emails and consistently all the way through. When I'm talking to somebody, I give them a business card, I ask for their information, and that's generally the way it works. Almost all the marketing now from that point forward is done online through emails and the website presence.
I noticed a lot of young people today also are bypassing the business card and they've got their smartphones. So they asked me right there on the spot, what's your website, Corey? And they just plug that in and it's memorized. Another thing that I've used as kind of a trick for helping them to remember by association is I came up with a lingo because I tell them, okay, my website's CoreyHolley.com. I've got that on my shirt or whatever. But I say, go big, go strong, go CoreyHolley.com. And they seem to connect with that a lot easier than with just saying CoreyHolley.com.
Keeping it simple, as you just mentioned, a very simple phrase that people can remember is very good. Another important thing is to choose a domain that's very, very simple. You have a great domain, CoreyHolley.com. Anybody that's met you is going to know where to find you. Sometimes when people are creating domains, they'll come up with fancy names that they'll want to register, and sometimes people don't remember them. So you want to keep your domain as simple as you possibly can so that you can recite it and people will remember it. A phrase is good. Sometimes a phrase within your domain is good, but you want to keep it simple so that people can remember it.
Yeah, that's great advice. What about using your personal name? For me, that was important. I had some mentors and teachers, and they told me, because they had done it, it's all about you, Corey. Never mind your business. It's all about you. When you've got a business like such and such personal training or whatever, how do you know how to come up with a name? What are some of the creative juices that you need to crank out? Should you ask people? Should you write it down? What's a good method to help people come up with a good name for their domain?
Simple. The simplest medium and the fastest way to get to your objective. If you are a personal trainer, that's a great example of, yes, you should have your name. You would put your name right there because you are the business. So all you want to do is just make sure that people can get to you as fast as possible. If you are the center of your business, then project that within your domain itself. The most important thing is to enable people to find you. And the more you use your name in your domain, in the name of your business, the faster, again, it'll come up in search engine results. It's all about simplicity. There's no real benefit to overcomplicating it or come up with fancy titles or jargon because people forget that. And they're bombarded with buzzwords every day. Very, very simple. You chose CoreyHolley.com. Nobody can ever forget that.
Yeah, so when I became aware of the search mode, you have to first of all determine that no one else has got that name. So I guess coming up with a name, I think, is very important. That sort of initializes it. But once you've got a name, and let's say that you've gone to Network Solutions and you've done the search to make sure that no one else has got that, what are your thoughts regarding, I guess it would be the suffix, the .coms, the .me's, the .net, the .biz? How important are those?
They are important. The best URL for international work is .com. We always suggest that you go with a .com if you can. In Canada, the second choice would always be the .ca. Around the world, obviously in France, .fr and .us. You can use all those, but you want to, again, find the fastest way to reach your audience. So, like I said, .com, .ca, they're important. Right now, the other ones that you find, .biz, .net, they're not quite as useful. So people aren't in the habit of just typing those in naturally. So in principle, what'll happen is if you had CoreyHolley.biz, you would likely have to have biz written down for somebody to think to type that in. So they'll always do .com, and in Canada, they'll always do .ca secondly.
You're the website pro. You're the developer. I've got a name in mind. I knock on your door, and I reach out and say, Michael, can you help me develop a website? You know, I'm not a millionaire. because a lot of people I find, a lot of the young people too, they assume and it's going to cost thousands, and they think automatically that it's just not affordable. So can you sort of help us understand or spell it out how simple it is relatively to get started, and what the steps are that you would take them through to finally get them from the idea to actually having a site online that I can go to and look at?
Well, there's a couple of things you mentioned. One is budget. If you're a personal trainer that's starting out, I would likely put a budget somewhere in the $700 to $1,200 range. You can always go higher. We can go up to thousands and thousands of dollars. But what you want to do is you want to get something up there that you like, and it doesn't have to be expensive. The second most important thing is that you have your content before you start your website. So you need to answer the who, the what, the where, and the why in your message. And once you've created all that, then we start to develop the actual website itself and the design process. It doesn't have to be complicated. Simple is always better. That's where we start. The idea is to get something online. As a personal trainer becomes more successful, they will have more items on their website to show off, and then their website will naturally get bigger. But you want to keep everything within a good budget that's reasonable, that you can handle. You also want to make sure that every item or functionality on your website that you have, you use. That's where we start off.
But how important do you think a logo is for identity?
A logo for identity is really, really important for two reasons. One is the obvious. It gives people a sense of your identity and what sets you apart. The second part of that is once you have a design and a logo that you love, it also gives you the boosted confidence when you're dealing with other people. It makes you just a little bit prouder when you're handing that business card or that postcard or sending a mail out, as well as having your online presence. It reflects you, and you really have to be in love with it. Again, I'm a huge fan of simple and the traditional. So you want to make sure that your logo can be used on print, online, on your business cards, black and white, or in color, and in the correct format so that it can be used in all the different ways.
And do you help your clients create logos?
We do. I've got different levels of developers, design developers that can actually, depending on where the client wants to go, we can create simple logos, or if they want to go into things a little more in depth, we've got more experienced creative directors that can do that as well. For me, it's all about keeping things simple and organized and moving forward.
Yeah, you keep using that simple word, which is great. It reminds me of Einstein equals MC squared, and even Hawking's now with his theory of everything. He believes that it's possible to unify everything that's known in terms of universe, middle, large, small earth, into an even simpler frame of reference mathematically. So, yeah, the simple is great. Now, looking at all the different website designs, because that's one thing I like to do. I surf a lot and do a lot of education. And there's a whole variety, you know, with the tabs at the top and the side, and there's colors and what kind of works for you? What framework do you think is best in terms of starting out? Let's say that you've got a little business and you want to promote it. How many links do you need? And what kind of look are we thinking of here?
Again, simple. I come from an advertising background. So anything that's visual on a website, for me, should portray the results of using that particular service. It's always a simple process. You want to start off with bare basics and exactly what you need and you need to say. I know I keep using the word simple, but it's something that's very, very important. You want to use as few words as you possibly can. And on the homepage, you have about 3 minutes. Somebody's going to look at that homepage if they Googled you. They're going to look at your website. They're going to see if it's up to date, if it's professional. Then they're going to be interested. Now, as far as links go, I always try and keep the links to a minimum unless it's something that supports what you have in the website. The days of just retroactive links that go back and forth, they're good for SEO. They're less effective than they used to be. But again, on a site, keep everything to a minimum. Be using everything. Always keep it clean and always be updating it. Just by doing those particular processes, you are automatically putting yourself as an expert in the industry. People will see that. People who have been in business for 20 years and new people just starting out in those businesses, when you compare the two websites, you can actually see comparing the two, everybody starts on as a clean slate. So if you have a better website, you could potentially get the business over somebody that has been in business for 20 years just because your website looks professional and organized.
Right. So what I'm getting then is that when I get to the homepage, my visual impression is going to give me an idea of the results that I can achieve by pursuing what it is you have to offer.
That's right. A lot of people, when they're building websites, they concentrate. It's difficult to say. It's not a question of over-styling, and then sometimes it is. What you want is you want simple imagery that's realistic to the person that you're actually marketing to. For example, if in your industry, if you specialize in dealing with people that might have weight issues, you might not necessarily want to have supermodels on your website, because the people that are looking at that particular site, they might not identify themselves with what you're displaying on your site. They might say, oh, okay, this one's not for me. I'm never going to look like her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So what you want then is to massage or put the website together in such a way so that the market that you have in mind will look at that and be somewhat attracted to it. And you want to get them to sit in front of that web page and then pursue going deeper inside.
Absolutely. Well, that's the main objective, as well as identifying with themselves using that service.
Now, how important is social media today on that website, and what are some of the favorite forms of social media that you prefer?
First of all, choose your social media carefully and use it. If you're going to use it on your website, make sure that you're going to use it. I have a lot of clients that initially you always start off with the Facebook and have your Facebook page and then Twitter account and then perhaps LinkedIn, and then you start going to Pinterest and Instagram and all the way down the line. For me, the most important thing is to be able to, if you're going to use social media, you have to use it and you use it correctly. So it is important. It is beneficial, but only if you use it. If you're not going to use it, then it's not the end of the world, but don't have it and not use it correctly.
So don't have it and then abandon it because you have no time. What you're saying, it's better not to use it at all and just wait until you have the time to put some energy into it.
Exactly. For an example, if you have a Twitter account and you only have 5 followers, well, people are going to click on that account. They're going to see that you only have 5 followers. What you're in fact telling them is that you only have 5 people that are interested in what you have to say. And Facebook, if you're using your Facebook, create a Facebook page. Don't use your personal Facebook account, although few people do that nowadays. And again, keep that up to date and control what goes on it. As a fitness instructor, you don't want to have an image of you or somebody you know if they're in a compromising position, because this is professional now and you have to put yourself forward as a professional. It's very, very important. Make sure that the images, the pictures that you have are pictures you want online. You sometimes have to talk to your friends about posting pictures of yourself. Controlling what's online is very, very important. It's not difficult, but it is important.
Right. Yeah, that's good advice, too. So now let's talk about online magazines that you design and operate. What are those all about? How do they work? And what is the motive behind the driving force, I guess, of creating those? So how do you extend yourself through the online magazines that you've created?
As mentioned before, I loved magazines, and I love magazines. And in starting out in Vancouver, one of the things I noticed is that the large amount of magazines that existed out there were all based on specific demographics. For an example, you might have certain people that are just interested in fashion, or you have other magazines that target higher income demographics. What I wanted to do is create a magazine that really encompassed the community as a whole with subjects that affect everybody. When you look online and you see our articles, there are articles that are actually relevant to everybody. It's all about Vancouver. We have the classifieds, we have the events calendars, all sorts of articles written by locals. Tracy's one of our favorite contributors with her recipes. What we try and do at the same time is have our advertisers local as well. One of our mandates is to really, really support local businesses. So what you won't see on our sites are advertisements for international companies. What you'll see is you'll see the clothing store that's down the road that's an independent. So we have a completely different business model as far as advertising goes, and everything is about local. We have a community support program that supports local charities. As opposed to the larger international charities, we promote local ones. We've got a daily deals program that also supports those local charities. So everything about the magazine is local. It's quality, but it's local. We have the same version of the magazine in Victoria, and we're developing Amsterdam and Paris as well, just to keep things interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. It's wonderful, the internet, that it's not just global, but I guess in our time we'll probably see planetary-wide access, which will be very cool, at least out in space anyway. Accessing information at your fingertips is what I really like. It's just phenomenal compared to when you and I were young growing up. We had to get to a library or ask somebody or whatever. Now, regarding the work you've done with Tracy, you know, I was just on your site today having a look. By the way, it looks brilliant. It's an excellent presentation. I just like the way you present the whole thing. And you got lots of colors and photographs, and it's intriguing, and it invites me in. So if some of our people have an interest in participating, I know you've worked with Tracy on this. What are you looking for in their skill set?
What we look for is fitness instructors and nutritionists that have column ideas or topics that are different and that also serve the larger demographic that we have. Eating habits, teaching people how to live healthier lives, that's all part of our mandate. So we are interested in all sorts of different points of view. We've already done the story on why people should choose a fitness trainer. So now it just takes all sorts of contributors with all sorts of different subjects, and we're open to everything. We really, really like having a lot of different people contribute, and they have a lot to say, and it benefits them as well. The writers really, really enjoy it. It gives them an opportunity to write.
Yes, and develop their skills, and like Aristotle said, if you want to develop any habit to the point of it becoming a virtue, you just simply do it and continue doing it.
That's right. And also when people write, really cements their principles, and it teaches them to be more organized as well when they're teaching people. Sometimes as we're writing things down, we're actually reteaching ourselves and reinventing our own principles at the same time.
Can you tell us about your website, Michael, as in their address and some of the content that we'll find?
Yes, they're very simple domains. As we talked about earlier, Vancouver is vancouverlifestyles.com. And for Victoria is victorialifestyles.com. Amsterdam is amsterdamlifestyles.com. And Paris, we weren't so fortunate, and we had to go with myparislifestyle.com. We're in the process of developing a number of different magazines throughout the world. We've actually got about 40 different cities that we're targeting and looking for different contributors to get those up and running as well.
Do you prefer to have people, as in contributors, that are local, like in Amsterdam, for example? Do you need to live in Amsterdam to contribute?
When I say yes, it's yes. We're very much polarized to having people that are local for two reasons. One is the whole mandate of the magazine is to be local, but it also benefits the writer a lot more when people can actually contact them. If I'm reading about somebody in Vancouver Lifestyles and I look and I see an article by Tracy, I can actually give her a call or contact her or find out about her where I can benefit from her expertise directly, as opposed to a writer in California where I can't really call them up and say, will you be my fitness instructor? Of course, unless they're online, that's another story, right?
So this opportunity they have to write for you is really a form of networking. If, for example, if I had a website and I was a contributor, then I would connect a link from my site to your site. People would see that I was writing, and that would give me more credibility.
Exactly. What we do for our writers is we have what's called a masthead that's borrowed from the actual print publications. And when you click on the masthead on our magazine, you'll actually see a full bio of everybody that contributes to the magazine itself. And we also have their website, their Facebook, their Twitter, their LinkedIn. We have all those accounts. So at any given point, if you're reading one of the articles, all you have to do is open up their bio, and you can click on their link, and you go directly to their website.
Perfect. It's evolution at its best, tit for tat, as they call it. We all win. I guess that's the new age description of life. It's a win-win for everybody.
Right now, there are very, very few secrets in the world. So if everybody helps everybody out, things seem to move forward a lot faster. By allowing contributors to really shine their expertise, it helps them as well as giving our readers valuable information to better their lives, especially in your sector where health is obviously an issue.
Michael Chenier has worked in the promotions, advertising, web development, and magazine publishing industry for the past 20 years. He has created a fantastic opportunity for writers through VancouverLifestyles.com and VictoriaLifestyles.com. Michael, we thank you very much for the work that you're doing and for your contribution on this edition of SNU.
Thank you so much for having me, Corey. Have a great day. It was a pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.